Well, good morning, everyone. Justin and I are here, and we're going to have a discussion today about the coronavirus, and specifically we're going to have a discussion about not the virus itself, not the sickness itself, the health issues of it. That's something that clearly is a big deal. But what we're going to talk about today a little bit is not that so much as the response to it, the social and political response to what's going on. And here's why I thought that would be a good thing to talk about. The health issues have happened before. Now, in our lifetime, it hasn't been to this magnitude, but throughout history and even in our lifetimes, we've had situations, health situations like this. There's a sickness that goes through, and the medical community understands it to some varying degrees. They work hard to understand it better and provide health care, and we weather it. That's something that has happened throughout generations. It's happened in our lifetime, the swine flu or different kinds of things like this. We've had pandemics like this in our lifetime. Now, certainly this is a magnitude that we haven't seen, but the underlying kind of healthcare issue isn't as novel. I think what is very, very, very novel for us is the response to it, the social and political and even economic response to what's going on. These kinds of global lockdowns, these kinds of global quarantines, these global stay at home, that's new for us. I don't think any of us in our lifetime have ever experienced anything like this. Probably the thing that is the most close to it is during World War II, there was some form of this. There was curfews, there was rationing, where the government stepped in and put restrictions on people that they hadn't had before. But it was different, and most of us weren't around back then. My mom was maybe 8 years old back then. And so the vast, vast majority of us don't have any experience with some of the things that we're dealing with now here in response to the coronavirus. So that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. But in doing so, I have to acknowledge that I feel unclear on what I think about this. It has been very, very difficult for me to get my head around this and to know, okay, is this a good idea? Is our response good? Is it righteous? Is it bad? Is it in the middle? I haven't been able to completely find a place where I can be comfortable there. And the reason is because I think for me and for all of us, there's nothing to compare it to. There's no backdrop to put this against and say, oh, well, this, what's happening now is like this thing. And so we can compare it and kind of think about it and understand it and perceive it in those ways. We don't have anything like that. We're trying to figure something out that none of us, I don't think, have ever experienced before. And I will acknowledge that I have yet to kind of find my place there, at least in my own mind, trying to understand, okay, is this response good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Is it right? Is it righteous? Is it... I've just struggled to kind of get my head around that. And so I just thought it might be, if not helpful for anyone else, helpful for me just to chew on this with Justin for a while. So, Justin, tell me what I should think.
Well, there's a lot of different opinions floating around out there. I've heard everything from, one extreme to the other. You have one extreme where this is a horrible idea. We're going to crash our economy. And there's no sensitivity to, yeah, people are going to die, whatever, we don't care. Like, the financial end of this is the best side, and we need to worry about making sure that the country runs smoothly and we have money in our checkbooks and businesses stay open and et cetera. And so you have that extreme, and then you have the other extreme where it's like, no, we should just shut down for 12 to 18 months, kill this bug. Who cares about the money? The government can just, feed us finances and... And so you kind of have like these two total opposites. As to what to think, I don't know. I think there's a middle road somewhere there. as to where that is, I have no idea. I like to look at both perspectives and kind of see everybody in the different varying degrees, and I think there's elements of truth in both. Right. But as to me having picked the path, we're hacking our way through a virgin forest right now,
right,
and trying to create a path, and we're probably going to veer off course.
Yeah, and I think that that's right. There are these outer edges of what to think, and sometimes out there on the outer edge is where you need to be. Sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. And so for me, trying to figure out what those outer edges are has been helpful. So you can at least get kind of, okay, here's at least the playing field. And a couple of different things that I've thought of regarding that. One of the outer edges might be here in Proverbs 22, verse 3. It says, "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." And so when you think about that, God is saying, hey, if you see a danger and just kind of put your head down and walk into it, that's not good. You're being simple. But prudence, understanding, would tell you, whoa, we got to stop because there's a danger out there. And so part of the response, there's a very real unknown with this virus. The health risks are different than the normal flu, even though for most people it's very benign. The medical profession seems to not quite know how to keep this from spreading. We have no vaccine for it. So there is definitely a danger, a medical health danger out there. And so something like this, a principle like this would seem to indicate, yeah, you know what? Stay at home, social distancing, do everything we can because there's a danger out there, so let's not just walk into it. The other side of that is maybe some of the things that we see in Psalm 91, where I think we see the limitations we have in protecting ourselves. And it just talks about how God will sweep men away in the night, and there are things that we cannot control. In other words, there are diseases, there is danger in this world, and no matter how prudent we are, we can't control it. And in fact, trying to control it, we begin to try to play God. And so that's the other extreme, I think. On one hand, prudence see danger and take refuge. On the other hand, we have very little control when it comes down to it. So somewhere in between there, we have to try to understand all of these restrictions.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good thought. I think that verse that you're talking about in Proverbs, we can apply that to both extremes, where the prudent see danger and they take refuge. And we see danger from an economic standpoint of how this is going to impact our country. And we see danger from the health side, where people are going to get sick and we're trying to slow the spread of this disease so that the hospitals aren't overflowed. And so I think that's that proverb to me lays out the middle road. And somewhere... somewhere in this forest that we're hacking through, there's a path that we ought to take. And it's going to be some trial and error and stepping to the left or to the right and, making missteps here and there.
Right. And I think that's another question that you just raised there is, there are issues of priority here. Okay, which is the most important thing? The people's health or people's economic well-being? And that's I think a big question that people are beginning to wrestle more with here. And that's just mm-hmm. what you were saying, how much do we hurt the economy in order to provide a more healthy environment versus how much do we just, take some risk of getting sick in order to keep the economy going well. And that's a debate that is going on, and I think that debate is going to become more and more real as this goes forward, because the economy, as the restrictions go on and go farther in time, it's going to have more and more of an impact on the economy. And so we're going to see that exact question, that priority question, asked a lot. And as I've thought about that, it has occurred to me that I wonder if that's even the right priority question to ask, because both of those things, our health and our financial stability, both of them are fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
God tells us both of those. I mentioned the psalm that said God sweeps men away in the night. He says that we're like grass that comes up in the morning and in the evening is withered. We have no guarantee of our health or the length of our days. It's in very many ways outside of our control, and at best, it's very fleeting. I think the same is true of our financial stability. God says, cast but a glance at riches and they're gone, for they'll surely sprout wings and fly off like an eagle. There are things we can do to care for ourselves financially, but in the final analysis, it is fleeting, and there are things that are outside of our control. So when you begin to have this question, which is more important, our health or our financial stability, I start to think, well, gosh, I wonder if either of them are the most important thing, because they're both so fleeting, and to such a large degree, both are outside of our control.
Yeah, that's a good thought. We certainly don't have control over either of those things. And when it comes to finances, we can be wise. We make wise decisions. I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey, and so my wife and I have, really piled on that. But not everything goes exactly the way we want it to. And same with our health. I can't control it. I have medical issues, intestinal things that I've had multiple surgeries over, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm also not in control. But there are things that I can do in that regard. What I eat plays a big role. So I don't have control over it, but I can make wise choices. And so that's where that middle road comes in. And so I like your question. Well, then what is the real question to be asking? Do you have a proposal as to what you think it would be?
No, I was hoping you'd. That's where I get lost. I just acknowledge that I can go so far in this, and then I kind of don't know where to go next. And so I don't know that I do. I mean, the only thing I can think of is, and I'm at the end of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon spent the entire book of Ecclesiastes, and you can probably include Proverbs in this. Both of those books were written by Solomon to help us know how to live well in this world. They're less about our relationship with God and more about our relationships with each other, how we interact here in this world. Lots about finances, lots about dealing with each other in both Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And at the very end of Ecclesiastes, he says this, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of a man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." There is an element of this where I think we need to recognize our lack of control, our lack of understanding. And I think one of the things that if we're going to understand this or know what to do well, this seems counterproductive, but we have to recognize that we're not going to completely understand it or completely be able to respond to it well. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It seems odd to think, well, okay, in our effort to understand and respond well to this, the first step is to recognize we're not going to understand or respond all that much. Not because there's more for us to do, because God just doesn't give us that. Does that make sense? We lack understanding because God doesn't give it to us. We're not going to completely understand this. We lack control because God doesn't give it to us. We're not going to be able to completely control this, either the health issues or the economic issues.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. And so a part of this has to be starting from a standpoint of wisdom. And I think wisdom is that submission to God's greater good. Wisdom is less about getting all the information we need and formulating theories. That's a little bit of it, but wisdom is more the acknowledgement that, Lord, I can learn and you can teach me and I can gather information and I can understand and make the best decisions I can, but ultimately I have to trust you, and I cannot get into my head that I have more control than I think I do. And so we as a culture, we as a society, and each of us as individuals has to recognize that a whole lot of this is outside of our control on purpose. And we will not be able to ever get control of it because God just doesn't give it to us. So I think that's there's something there about this.
Yeah. I think a lot of this, as for us as Christians, is how are we responding? You know, we have – I think most of us are going to find ourselves on one camp or the other. We're going to lean towards, yeah, this is a really bad economic decision, and it's going to cause a recession or a depression, and people are going to starve, and so people will die that way. And then we have others on – you know, people on the other side who would, you know, perhaps close things down a lot longer and you know, slash capitalism and other thinking about finances and be upset about that. And we can respond well to a person who comes at this with a different perspective, or we can respond poorly. I think of the passage in Romans 14 where it talks about not passing judgment on each other when we have different convictions. We can have civil dialogue about the varying perspectives on how we as a culture, as a nation, as a world, and a globe respond to something like this. And as Christians, we have an opportunity to be a light in that and point people back to some of the truths that you're talking about with God is sovereign over this and we're not. We need to make wise decisions. We are given stewardship over this earth, and we are given stewardship over our bodies and our finances, but that doesn't guarantee things go well. And we can point to those truths. And I think that's one of the ways that we as Christians can really respond well when we recognize we don't have all the understanding and all of the information, and we don't know exactly how to carve our way through that virgin forest, but we have the God of the universe on our side rather than just our own understanding. You look like you have a thought.
No, I just think that's an excellent point, particularly what you're saying about how we respond to each other in this. And I think you're right, Justin, that a lot of this is going to be an individual response, and whether you know, fall on one side of the spectrum or the other, I don't know that there's a right answer to this. If there is a right answer, I'm not sure what it is. And that's in our most lucid moments, we all have to acknowledge that that's the truth.
Yep.
We may think we know what the right answer is, but the truth is we don't completely know. And but to have that mindset that I'm going to keep that, not to myself, but to recognize that, I forget where it is, but it says, I think it's in Romans, God says, why would you judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point. We can get very upset with people who don't see this as we do, and we need to avoid that. As Christians in particular, we need to avoid that. And if I fall on one side of the spectrum and you fall on a different side of the spectrum, we need to let each other stand before God. We can have that dialogue exactly like you said, you know, but do it with gentleness and respect and trust that God is going to lead, rather than, no, I got this figured out and I need to make sure that you understand as I do, or at least that you act as I think you should act. Yep. That's dangerous.
Yeah, you had brought up before, as this goes on, we're going to see the political tension rise as we see one side of the spectrum saying we need to keep things locked down, and the other side saying, look at the damage this is doing to our economy. And I think we're going to see, from a media and political standpoint, a lot of angst and anger and frustration and polarization between our two parties, our two primary parties in our country, and that is going to cause a lot of division if we're not careful to have civil, gentle, respectful, kind dialogue about, okay, at some point we have to open things up. What is that point, and how do we navigate this? And we have different perspectives, but we have to come to some conclusion and do something.
Right. We have to do something, and some of us won't like what is being done.
Yeah.
I mean, completely honestly, I don't like the current situation. I don't like all of the shutdowns and lockdowns for different reasons. Okay, well, if we completely opened things up, other people wouldn't like that. So some of us, no matter what happens, some of us are not going to like it. And so we have to learn how to respond. And that's kind of a different subject, but it is so important for us to recognize that here, that things are going to happen that are different than the way we think things should happen. We've all had dozens, scores, maybe hundreds of conversations about this already, and it kind of dominates the airwaves. It dominates our individual conversations, and pretty much everybody you see, your first question is, "Well, how you doing with all the lockdowns and stuff?" And I had a thought there, and it just totally disappeared. That's the way my life has been lately. My brain just doesn't work like it used to. Shoot, I lost my train of thought there.
Well, one of the things you were just talking about was our lives have been upended, and so we're always asking each other. You know, whenever I connect with somebody on Zoom or Skype or Google Hangouts, is how are you doing? How are you doing with those lockdowns? And the reality is, our lives have been upended, and that's really, really difficult. And with that comes a whole lot of emotions. I was journaling about this morning. You know, we can be confused or angry and angst or frustrated with the change that has been foisted upon us. Like, hey, you can't go to that store you want to go to. You can't go play that game you want to go play. You can't watch sports. They shut sports down. We can experience fear, anxiety, or stress about, well, what's coming next? Is this going to bloom? Are we going to have people dying in the streets? Or fear about, I don't have a job. How am I going to make rent? Or fear about, the government's handing out all this money. Where's the government coming up with this? And we can have fear about that. We can have concern for our future and income, our economic standpoints. And then we're at home. We're stuck at home. And we're going to feel pressure there too. Because now you're there a lot. And all of those hidden character flaws are coming out between you and your spouse and you and your kids. And so you're sitting there and you're just feeling all this mounting pressure at home, and you have to figure out how to respond to that. And as I've been thinking about that, this is an opportunity for us as people to press into God. We have an opportunity to really press into our relationship with the Lord, because in many ways, the things that we did to pass our time, the hobbies that we had or the fun things we did, we can't do it anymore. And so now we have available time, and we can fill our lives with yard work and housework and dusting and mopping and sweeping and doing extra things like that. But we also can fill our time with, okay, God, what am I going to do? How can I grow in this? How can you shape me and my family through this, and really press into our relationships with God? I was meditating a little bit on Psalm 18 as I was thinking about this particular topic, where David is talking. He says in verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. And he goes on, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, and the snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried for help. And I think a lot of us are experiencing distress.
Yeah.
And so many different ways. And we have an opportunity to do what David's doing here and stand behind that shield, our God, to stand on that foundation and that rock, our God, and go to him and ask, okay, I'm cutting through a virgin forest here. How do I do this with my family right here, right now, and then live out of my relationship with God and live out of my growing and formulating relationship with my family?
Yeah. Yeah, those are great, great thoughts, and I think that's true, that there's, and I want to just jump off one thing you said there, how this is an opportunity for us to lean into God, and I find myself, you know, wandering around the house feeling all those things that you said, and all of us feel them differently. For some of us, you know, I want to be here and I can't be there. For others, it's, you know, the uncertainty of the future. For me, it's just the struggle to try to put this into perspective and to not have it clear in my head. And so all of us are feeling that tension for different reasons. And I'll find myself wandering around the house feeling that and just getting more and more off. You know, it just feels like you wake up in the morning and something's not right. And you go through the day all day long and something's not exactly right. But to lean into God when that happens and to let that offness force us to God. And when we feel off, it's like when you have an itch, you know, you want to scratch that itch somehow. This is an itch that I think, you know, we can get information and we can read things and listen to people talk. All that's fine. But really, this itch won't be scratched without leaning into God. And we have to let this uncomfortableness drive us closer to a relationship with God. I used to tell young college kids who desperately wanted to be married. And I remember that as a young college guy desperately wanting to be married and not feeling like I could just make it happen. You know, it's not like you just go down to the bride store and find yourself a gal and get her. You have to wait. And there was a lack, there was some ways outside of our control, but you just long for it. And I would tell them, look, when you feel that, it's okay to feel that desire, but let that make you go talk to God about it. Go and talk to God about that thing. And I think here that's the same thing. Go and talk to God about these things. And I think that's an excellent thought. And so I find myself, when I'm on my game, when I, in the afternoon, when I'm starting to feel that pace the house, something's not right, I'll just go sit down, pray 5 minutes, read a psalm, read something, lean into God. That's great advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think our enemy is using this. There's a spiritual warfare going on in our homes, you know, with husbands who are home with their wives and kids and all the different things that are going on around us. And we have to be careful of not giving into that and allowing ourselves to be shielded and shepherded by God, even though things are difficult.
Yeah. Well, do you have some more things to share, Justin?
No, I think everything that I had written down, we've gone through, other than the verse in Hebrews 10:25 where it says we're made for community. Do not neglect meeting together.
Right.
And we can't do that face-to-face, but I would like to encourage everybody listening and tuning in here, find a way to connect with some believers. If it's texting, if it's Marco Polo, if it's Skype, if it's Zoom, if it's Google Hangouts, I don't know what it is for you, but find a way. Make phone calls, write letters to connect with other people around you because we're built for people. And I love my wife and I love my kids a lot, but I need more than just them in my life giving me input. And it's really helpful to continue to try to connect with people. And it takes a lot of work. Right now, anyways, I can't just show up to church on Sunday and show up to my small group or life group and see people, but we've got to work at it. Yeah. And I would encourage you guys to, you know, if you're struggling with that anxiety, that stress, that weight, take that step and I hate to say pick yourself up by your bootstraps, but do it. Make it happen. Find a way, even if it's just one person throughout this event to connect with. Find somebody to connect with.
I think that's a great way to end this because we talked earlier about, you know, the relative priorities of different things. What's more important, our health or our economy? And you'd asked, well, okay, if both of those are temporary and maybe not really the right priority, what is the right priority? Well, I think this is one of them. Do not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but fellowship with one another every day, as long as it's called today. That's in Hebrews. It's either 3:13 or 10:25.
10:25.
Yeah. And that's a command, and that's a great, that is a priority. I think you're 100% right. We need each other. And so find ways to interact with each other. Yeah, make phone calls. Technology is different now than it was in 1918, the last time there was a global pandemic where we can see each other face to face. So, yeah, that's good. All right. Well, I don't know that we answered all the questions in the world, but let me pray and we'll wrap this up. Lord, we just turn to you. Lord, we have to turn to you because we don't understand. And even the things that we do understand, we are limited in our ability to change things. You give us some, but not complete. And so, Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be those prudent men and women. Help us to see what's important. Help us to make wise decisions as nations, as a world, as societies, and as individuals and families and churches, Lord. We want to be wise. We want to know the path that you want us to walk. But ultimately, God, every day I pray that we would turn to you and trust you and just see what you can do, Lord, apart from our own efforts, Lord. We have to rely on you. You tell us that no good thing do you withhold from him whose walk is blameless. Well, Lord, we just have to rely on that, that you are going to do good for us, whatever that looks like. Our role is to take your hand and to follow, to walk with you. So help us, Lord, to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.